Blog Talk Radio.
There are seven wonders of the universe. You're about to hear the eighth. Welcome to Sports in Depth on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley. You have time.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. And we open every show with a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day, asking that you have your will and way. We thank you, Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted. And we ask that your way be our way. We thank you for blessings, dear Lord, forthcoming that have come, all unmerited, all definitely. Unmerited. And sometimes to us, unacknowledged. That should bless our families and here in New York to continue to help those in the wake of the hurricane. Bless our family here on the panel, our family in Brazil. And more importantly, we thank you for your daughter, son Jesus. As I read the your great book, the only book, Psalms chapter 8, verse 4. What is man that God is so mindful of him and that the Son of Man comes to visit him? Doc Stanley. Sports in Depth on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, and the posse is starting to come in. I'm looking, and I've made some changes. I got a little poem for you. And Deadeye Dusty has just pulled up. Got a little poem for the crew, as you know. I got a poem. I'm going to read it, and I change it, you know. With sports rap during the week, it ain't the same. Everybody gets a change of name. Gone, Cosell, Little Coco. For Rooney, has to go. Sure shot Mel Smith, y'all, on the weekday show. Dusty becomes Deadeye Dusty and Harold, Double Bell Harold Weston. And you know that ain't no lie. Got some other names for you as we continue the poem. Some things that have happened that ain't too poetic. Mike Brown fired! 1-4 at the Lakers. Whoever thought after five games is sayonara. But he's gone. Knicks win again. Continue their streak 4-0. And the Nets, even their record at 2-2. That's a serious... A serious blowout here. Wow, playing some real defensive basketball. I mean, they didn't allow the opponent to get no more than 19 points in any one quarter as they came away with a big 107-68 win today. Mike Brown, after 1-4, gone. Bernie Bickerstaff takes over for Brown, and there's rumblings of two names that got to be kind of startling. Well, not startling. One, Dusty, is Phil Jackson, and the other is D'Antoni, who left the Knicks. As Timothy S. Smidley says, as rumor has it, the Jackson name has always been one that is constantly surfing, but surfaces during the course of the NBA season once somebody gets coached. Fired or something, or he's on the hot seat. You know, the first thing is, well, maybe Phil Jackson's coming, but D'Antoni has resurfaced.
He's the dark horse.
The dark horse, you think?
He's the dark horse because Jackson said last time he's finished. He's been sick for a long time. He's not coming back. He's had enough. And your boy, the Brooklyn Nets, had better defense than the New York Giants.
So maybe for a couple of weeks we should put the basketball players on the football field.
Exactly.
The football players play basketball, Zach?
Yeah, put them up when they play the Bengals next week. Put them up there.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Get, definitely. Trust in God Radio Network. It is our weekday sports wrap. Got some sponsors here. We got to kick out here some names for you. Some things we're going to have some people who are bringing the Trust in God Radio Network show to you. And we'll mention those names for you in a couple of seconds. And as you know, Mike Brown, Dag Dusty, 1-4. Coach of Lakers,
no more. That's premature, but, I mean, Kobe Bryant is probably happy because I think Kobe Bryant didn't want the man there.
Really,
and he seemed to didn't like the idea of him coming over, but who's going to replace him? D'Antoni maybe, who's been named, but still and all, 1-4 does not make a season. Are there so America's team, so to speak, that 1-4 is a disaster already?
It's what Kobe Bryant said after. Hold on, Dusty. Wait a minute. Now, hold on. I think I see Double Barrel Harrow pulling up. Double Barrel Harrow, baby. You know what I mean? And Harrow has joined us, as I said, you know, with the Sports Day, Sports Night rap. It ain't the same. Everybody gets a change of name. And it's Deadeye Dusty, and I said, Dusty becomes Deadeye Dusty. And Harrow, Double Barrel Harrow. Weston, you know that ain't no lie. Double Barrel Harrow. Pull out on you, baby. I don't care. Hey, Harrow going to blast, reload, and come back again. Wow, Harrow, 1-4, and Mike Brown is gone. Coach of the Lakers.
Yeah, well, that, you know, nobody's playing around no more. You got to pay as much money up for those teams that they got to pay for. I think that, you know, you got to get rid of the coaches. They're not adding up to what your team's expected to do. I mean, that's why I said with the Jets, I mean, the coach is always blasting his mouth and everything, but, you know, he's not producing. Yeah, they went to the playoff one time, but these last couple of years, it has not been impressive at all. I mean, so, I mean, you know, you can talk, but you got to deliver, too. I mean, that's what made Ali so great. See, everybody's trying to follow Ali's trend. But one thing they didn't realize what Ali did, he backed it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big difference. Everybody wants to talk, but they don't realize talking, you got to back it up. As we always say, you got to walk the walk and talk the talk.
And there's another great line, how talk is cheap, baby. If you can't back it up, talk is cheap.
And I got to ask you, intelligent man, I got to ask y'all a question because it's really bothering me for the last day here.
Mm-hmm.
The guy named Karl Rove over there who was part of the Bush administration, and he was on this, Fox situation, okay? Mm-hmm. And he had all these arithmetic adding up how Obama was going to lose and everything, how his prediction. And even last, you know, night before, you know, during the election, he was showing everybody how all these states were going to come in and have Mitt Romney. Now, my point is, if this is the same guy that put the country into a recession, why is anybody listening to him?
Yeah, well, hold on, wait a minute. Oh, somebody's riding up. Hold on, somebody's riding up. There he is, baby, coming in town, baby. We got, like I said, on the sports rap show, the names ain't the same. Everybody, Monday through Friday, gets a brand new name. I think I see Rough Rider Raymond's coming up. Boy, as we mentioned football, Rough Rider is coming up, baby, on his faithful steed, Enzo.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, Sports and Deaf panel. Good evening, Sports and Deaf Nation. On Fridays, I am known as T-Biscuit in the third.
T-Biscuit in the third, baby. Hey, Rough Rider Raymond's in the house. You know, Harrow, it's just amazing. And I remember you said it and when we were making the, we just got the latest report, and it was close. You said, Harrow, hey, it ain't close. And it was comical that, you know, there was a point when we came on, the Electoral College had already conceded the victory to Obama, and with that much time left, it was also without question that whatever numbers there were, they were only going to get bigger and make the gap even wider.
And Florida thought they were so slick, they were going to hold back. Thought they were going to be that major state again, you know, to pitch the next president. But they didn't. He didn't even need Florida. You know what I'm saying? He didn't even need Florida. But that was that slick move they were trying to do again, waiting for them for the next 4 or 10 days.
You know how you talked about that too. This whole thing was all of a sudden there weren't the typical machines for voting. And I think the big thing that happened with that too is that, and you have to take your hat off to the president's campaign and the African American who got out there and said, hey, look, you know, when you go into that machine, don't push all Democrats first. Make sure you push Obama first. And, the word had got out what to do. And, it seems like they tried to find another avenue, and then it turned out that they had to play it straight up. and they had to go 1-1, and there's no way in the world 1-1 he could do it. And you just look at the whole. I mean, here's the thing, as we talked about it, and we broke it here first, right here on the Trust in God Radio Network. We broke it here first that President Obama had been reelected a second term, and you know the situation here, just off of the fact that he's stopping the war and bringing the troops home. That alone should have been victory. But you add the Bin Laden situation. Here's the guy that is like he was forgotten. I mean, every time you mention something evil and bad, his name came up. But, you know, Obama found him. I mean, just off of that alone, I mean, you think a guy who leads the league in home runs and batting has a shot at the MVP. You know, this was just really sad and touching, as Harold said. But, you know, my mother said, God is for you, who can be against you? And real quickly on a baseball note, and Nate B. Berger now becomes Nate Badlands. And the Swisher Ichiro and the Martinez, the reliever, they all rejected the one-year contract that the Yankees offered them. So Cano and my good buddy Granderson, no, they accepted their extensions. But I'm surprised Ichiro, if I'm correct, that
Wait a minute, Doc. Mm-hmm. Cano wanted a 10-year deal,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't get it, and he accepted what?
He accepted the 1-year deal. Yeah,
deal, Cano? No,
yeah,
he didn't.
Cano and Granderson are back in the fold. But Swisher, I mean, I'm thinking who's going to take Swisher?
A 1-year deal for Cano?
Yeah, the 1-year extension.
No. I think that's wrong, Doc, because he wanted a 10-year deal. And
well, he
how,
didn't.
If he got a 4-year deal the first time, how's he going to take a 1-year deal?
He got an extension. He has not. If you go into Doc Stanley Sports at blogspot.com.br, the story's there. Him and Granderson accepted, you know, the Yanks picked him up. But what I'm looking at here is, you know, where does Swisher think he's going to go with the kind of playoff he had, the kind of season he had, and the guy can't play the outfield? I mean, I guess somebody's going to pick him up.
I guess the Pirates. That's,
the Pirates?
He's just not going to make that type of. The Pirates.
The Pirates are looking for him. There's some other teams will take him, of course.
I mean,
because
he's playing in
Josh
that's
Hamilton. Yeah, but okay. Go ahead. Because there was a non baseball statement. I mean, a question.
Mm-hmm.
Who's gonna pick him up? Like Doc says, with the way he's been playing. I mean, you know, you could see him fall into a smaller market team. Because, you know, he's just not going to make that. He's not going to make Yankees money at any other team because there are very few teams out there with that type of payroll.
I mean, the thing is, though, you look at the other end of the spectrum. He goes small market. Maybe he goes Kansas City. Maybe you're talking Pittsburgh, you know what I mean? Or maybe a team like the Angels or St. Louis may say, hey, okay, you know, Will, if he takes the kind of money that we're offering, and you know, he jumps at it because, I mean, it is business, but I'm just surprised that supposedly with the kind of sort of adulation and, well, you know, I tell you what got a lot of the guys, though, and the story is Doc Stanley Sports and Death on the Trust in God Radio Network. It's a weekday sports wrap with the posse whose names have changed. It's Double Barrel Harold, Dead Eye Dusty, and my man. Who's changed, you know, he's Rough Rider. Remember, they seem to have really been disturbed of when, and it seemed to bother some of the guys, but it didn't seem to bother A-Rod, but they seemed to be really upset that the fans got on them the way they did. You know, and they're saying, hey, man, you know, we've got to the playoffs, we've been successful in the playoffs, we won 97 games, and we're having a little downtime here. And they were really, some of the guys were, I mean, as one story had said, they were really kind of glad to leave New York and move into another environment, as hostile as it may be. And I remember Terry Pendleton, who was the guy that broke the back-to-back streak of Barry Bonds winning MVPs. You know, had he not had the year, had Barry won three in a row. And Terry, well, he won the batting championship and became MVP. And he said something to me I'll never forget. And he said he took $500,000 less per year to not sign with the Yankees than subject his family to the New York City media and, you know, and these so-called intelligent fans. And I maybe Swisher soured on the fan. He was one of the guys that spoke out about it. Ishiro, if things are correct, I'll tag. I meant to check that. I'll check update. I'm surprised if that's the case with him. I just thought the way he was playing and the Swisher's gone, you know, he goes back to right field and, you know, the chance to get back to the playoffs. So, no, a lot of that could be erroneous. And then I'm thinking, you know, the guy out of the bullpen, I mean, you know, Mariano says he wants to come back next year, but he's still got to figure it's going to be a half a year or so till he gets back in the groove. So he still would be the main man coming out of the bullpen, and the future is his. So a lot of times, you know, a lot of things, you know, does it meet the eye or is not fully explained, but I'm just really sort of surprised that Swisher, who I thought really liked New York and liked being a Yankee, like I said, rejected. At last I heard, he rejected the one-year contract. And sometimes these contracts, I remember Barry Bonds told me.
Well, across the board, they offered the three guys the same package, $13 million
mm-hmm.
for three guys. I forgot. I know Switcher was one. Soriano was one. Soriano wanted 15-6.
Yeah, Soriano, right.
And he said, and he said, no good. I mean, I want 15-6, so I'm gone. You know, and Swisher, you know, Swisher can probably get more than in the other marketplace. Look at speaking of markets, you got Big Papi, who took a 26 for 2 years, which surprised me, but that was more money than he was making,
mm-hmm.
and he knows his baseball days are gone. So that 2 year package was back
yeah,
to Boston.
Just, you know what? You're kicking out numbers. It's amazing, man. You know, we're shooting these numbers off. 26 million for two. 13, and you take the $26 million that Big Papi has. 26.
Yeah.
Now, 20. Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Clemente, Koufax, Marichal, Gibson, Ernie Banks, Tom Seaver didn't make that combined. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, all those great players didn't make $13 million combined.
Probably
guy,
totally, they all made 13.
The whole career, and here's Soriano turning down 13, and for all intents and purposes, you're right, he can get $15 million
yeah.
to pitch one inning, three batters,
and blow a
game.
Well, you know? Look at A-Rod. His payroll,
yeah.
I know for sure in the 2011 season, was exceeded that of the whole Tampa Bay.
But when you talk A-Rod, you talk Alex Rodriguez, you're talking about the greatest all-around shortstop in history of this game. You're talking about the only infielder to do 40-40. You're talking about the as a shortstop, he's won a Gold Glove at shortstop. He's won a Gold Glove at third base. He's hit 50 home runs back-to-back. He's the youngest guy to hit 600 home runs. You're talking about the Willie Mays of shortstops. Okay?
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking Alex Rodriguez.
I mean,
huh?
the money these guys are making.
My point is, when did he do that with the Yankees?
How? I don't care who he did it with. Over his career, Alex Rodriguez is the greatest shortstop in
but,
the history
but,
of baseball.
But now you got to understand, when you live in New York, I don't care what you did in Boston.
Yeah, no,
I don't care what you did.
But no,
my point is that
if you're not doing it here, hold on, Harold. In New York, he won two MVPs. Okay, he won two of his three MVPs in New York. He's won the Gold Glove, and he's won a World Series with the Yankees. So he's done well with the Yankees.
I bet you one thing. He will never be praised like Joe Namath, and he will never be praised Reggie.
Gita?
Reggie. He will never be praised
like that. Yeah, but he's
No,
not.
He will never be praised like that.
Well, it was no question, but Joe Namath is homegrown. Okay, Joe's homegrown, and Reggie's from a different era. But as a ball player, Alex Rodriguez is better than Reggie Jackson. Okay,
he came from Seattle. He went to Texas,
and people forget in Seattle, he won the batting championship.
Yeah,
You want to say, Mel?
But when you said how you know these guys make this type of money more than combined than most of these greatest players of the yesteryear. You look at guys like Terry Bradshaw too, who won so many Super Bowls, and he was making less than. Let me tell you something about Terry Bradshaw.
First of all, Terry Bradshaw was carried by his defense. And Terry Bradshaw had lost his starting job to Jefferson Street Joe Gilliam, okay? And because of Gilliam being a black quarterback, okay, they didn't want to give Bradshaw's job to Gilliam. And I'm under the same mindset. You could take a half a dozen quarterbacks and put them in Terry Bradshaw's position, and they would have gave you the same results. So Bradshaw wasn't all that, okay? You could have put a half a dozen quarterbacks in Terry Bradshaw's position, all right, and you'd have got the same result. Joe Namath, Joe Montana, Warren Moon, Johnny
Terry Bradshaw was a quality quarterback. How could you say that?
I'm not saying he wasn't a quality quarterback. What I'm saying, a whole lot of people could have done what he did with that team, and Terry Bradshaw lost his starting job, but they didn't want to give it to a black quarterback, and Pittsburgh had problems after that. Mean Joe, L.C. Green, they had problems. We're going to play. We're going to put our best effort, but there was problems because Jefferson Street, Joe Gilliam, had won the job. They didn't want to give the job to a black quarterback. Bradshaw had lost his job. And like I said, there are 10 quarterbacks you could name had you put in Bradshaw's place that could have done the job. Now, would Bradshaw be able to do what Eli Manning is doing?
I don't agree with that.
Huh?
Question what you're saying, because I don't know how can you tell me that a team as formidable as the Steelers, of offense and defense, the steel curtain and all the guys out there, any quarterback could have done what Terry Bradshaw.
You're trying to tell me that Joe Namath couldn't have done what Bradshaw did with the Steelers? You're trying to tell me that Johnny
Unitas would not have done what Bradshaw with the Steelers three or four straight times. It would not have done.
They played a different type of ball game.
No, exactly. Hey, first of all, once again, the guy had lost his job. So how good could you be when he had lost his starting job?
Terry Bradshaw did not have to throw as much as Joe Namath would throw. Joe wanted to throw.
That's the point I'm making, that Joe didn't have the weapons that Bradshaw had. Okay? Bradshaw had.
Those weapons was created very slowly.
What slowly?
All right? I'm talking about when the Pittsburgh Steelers was losing those years, when they were losing,
I'm not talking about what happened before Bradshaw or after Bradshaw. I'm telling you, there are half a dozen quarterbacks who could have done what Bradshaw did with that team. Bradshaw did it, but I'm saying Bradshaw lost his job. Bradshaw lost his starting job, and they didn't want to give it to Jefferson Street, which proved right there that you put a quality quarterback in. It's the same thing with San Francisco. As great as Joe Montana is, Steve Young showed you was the system. It was the system. Young moved right in there, and the Super Bowls kept coming. Hold on a minute, Doc fan. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the – you know, what happened to Rooney? Trust and God Radio Network. We are talking football. Don't anybody move. We'll be right back. Back here with the posse, talked a little football. going back and forth. John, before we get back to real quickly, we'll get back to the Pittsburgh Steelers and Terry Bradshaw. Another thing came up here. Well, I want to just talk about just for a minute. I want to go back to the Knicks are 4-0, the Nets, Brooklyn Nets are 2-2, the firing of Mike Brown, and Sea Wings. I don't know. The Jets and the Giants are both on the road this week. How big is this game? Not only for Cincinnati because they're kind of wavering, but for the Giants to get back on track.
The Giants definitely, it is not a must win, but it's a need to win, if you follow me. The Jets, the Jets is a must win. I mean, even to take off some of the stigma that's on the team right now, that they're not as good as they say they are, definitely in their play, it shows that, you know, they need a lot of help. But for the team, I tell you, the Jets really need this win to get back on track. And it's not going to, even if they win this week, it's not going to keep them out of the fire. That pot is still going to be boiling, but it's going to be one step to, getting them in the postseason. But they have a long way to Seattle. That is definitely a tough environment. They've won a lot of key games. They beat New England. It's a loud stadium. You have the fans who are the 12th man on the field. Very tough environment to play. Coupled with having to travel across country. And, you know, I mean, you have the rookie quarterback. He's pretty good. He's still learning, but he's playing pretty good football there. So, you know, the Jets, they're going to have a lot on their plate. The Giants, I think they could go in there, pull off the that they need to kind of shake that monkey off their back they've been going through. And it even shows you that, you know, statistically-wise, the NFL is not all – it's a very funny sport. It's hard to predict. You had the Giants 9-7. They went on to win the Super Bowl. They were beat up. They came back and overcame, and they beat, you know, New England Patriots again. So I say the Giants are in a better position to win against Cincinnati. Cincinnati's definitely struggling. Marvin Lewis, he might be under the gun this year as well.
Good point. I know it's funny. Marvin Lewis, this weekend, I don't think Harold, you know, says Ryan's got to be accountable. I don't think a loss could end it for Rex, but another loss for Lewis could end it for him. And we may shock. And if this weekend, if the Jets lose, and if Lewis loses, you know, we could see, if the coach is not gone, we could see two guys whose heads on the chopping block.
Well, let me just say this.
Hold on. Go down.
I just want to say this. Rex is just a good comedy guy for the Jets. And the enjoyment of him being in the papers all the time, even when he's wrong most of the time, where the Giants coach is winning Super Bowls, but he's not getting as many press because he's not as humid as Rex is. So the point is this. Long as they keep the people buying tickets for the Jets and they keep coming up with this high hope situation they're going to win the Super Bowl, the thing is that Rex Ryan is a good comedian to keep the team flowing the way
exactly.
it is and putting butts in the seats for their show. And that's
selling a lot of tickets.
That's all it is.
As you mentioned Marvin Lewis, you go back to the 2010 season when the Jets went out to play them in the wild card, the 2009-2010 season when they played them in the wild card, Marvin Lewis, I thought he was a goner after that. I mean, he made a couple of – he lost two challenges in the first quarter.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, those two challenges. Mm-hmm.
And that team just seemed, you know, they get better, and they just seem to regress back five or six steps for some reason. I don't know what they're missing in Cincinnati. I mean, they have the talent, but they just can't execute. I mean, when they had Cedric Benson, that guy was, I wish the Jets would have went after him. That guy was
a And, you know, fellas, one thing about sports and anything in the world, if you don't have the good combinations of leadership and the right people in position with the players or with the administration, nothing is going to work right
exactly
in that situation. Everybody's got to gel together to make it happen. If your coaching staff don't
Where did Rex Ryan, Doc Stanley Sports and Death on the Trust and God Radio Network, Mel Smith Jr., who now is Sure Shot Mel tonight, where, in your estimation, and see when you come behind along with us, because evidently what you're saying here, Harold, is that somewhere along the line, Rex Ryan lost his team. Somewhere along the line, they don't believe in him like they used to.
Let me ask you this question. Where did he come from?
Exactly. Where did he come from?
He came from Baltimore. He came from the Ravens.
But what did he do?
Well, he was a coordinator on the team. Yeah, that won the Super Bowl.
Was he the defensive coach?
He ran the defense. That's why the Jets defense is still pretty good. They just, starting to execute. You know, they're still not that bad this year. Then he comes from his father, Buddy Ryan. I mean, he has a football history there. But
He has a legacy.
But you understand, he was under principal people that had the knowledge that led the team to that glory. He doesn't have the brain to take that team and lead it.
Exactly.
You got to understand in life, there's certain men that can follow order and dictate the things that I tell you to do to tell the other men to do it and make them do it, and they're successful. But when I tell you, you got it by yourself. Think this out. Be a visionary. The linemen can't do that. They have no vision.
You know, it's going back to what you were talking about yesterday. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on Trust and God Radio. Well, you talked about yesterday and Dusty, where when you enter the ring and you got the championship fight, and it's like, okay, you know what? I'm here, but I don't want it. Point in case.
I'm here, and what do I do?
I'm here. And you know what? And I'm just satisfied to be on the bench and not playing in the championship game. But a lot of what has happened to Rex Ryan, though, C-Wings, as you talked about, over the course of the 2 or 3 years, the pieces he had were deleted, dismantled, or there were guys that they didn't pay that were advantageous to his scheme of things.
Instead of putting games up there to protect the team and solidify the foundation of the team, they replaced those skill teams they had the first 2 years and put toothpicks there. So it really rattled the foundation of the team.
The leader didn't know what they were doing.
Exactly.
I think it was beyond the coach. I mean, there was a lot of you had salary cap issues this year. You're going to have a lot of guys going free agent. They lost a lot of leadership. I mean, I think if you look at that, for the first 2 years, you had Damian Woody, you had Leon Washington, you had, these Braylon Edwards. He may not have been a leader, Braylon Edwards. He may have dropped a lot of balls, but he was an impact player. And Brad Smith, impact player. They don't have the impact players on the Jets. And they're really going into an offensive rebuilding mode, probably, after this season is over. But the defense is still pretty good. If it wasn't for the defense, you would have many more blowouts in their games. You would have a lot more blowouts if it wasn't for the defense. And if you look at what Rex Ryan does, he most of the time he defers the ball. when they win the coin toss. So it goes to show you.
That's how they blow it to the Steelers.
He's a defensive-minded coach, but he's showing you where his strong parts are. Is the defense? Is it because he knows when you look when they get into the red zone, they're kind of scared to let Sanchez throw the ball. Except
hey, see me. I mean, scared. All we have to look is that at that New England football game. Scared? I mean, they were on the 18-yard line, and they ran the football. The guy, and it's a great point that was made by my man, Mr. Was it a post about that story? Or was it the other guy who wrote this story? But he made a great point. He said, you know, the Jets showed right then and there they didn't trust. The guy's having one of the best games he's going to be. He's throwing for 300 yards. He's out Brady, and he's in a position to throw the football, and you ran the football. So I think, I mean, you know, this is a very strange situation here. You brought in Tebow to be there when Sanchez fell, and Sanchez keeps falling, and you keep pushing him back up, and you won't play Tebow. You had Burrell, who was a season ticket holder with a uniform on the bench. I mean, the one thing about Tebow was at least you had a younger guy, give the guy a try. I mean, I think the New England game showed that they really don't trust Sanchez to throw the football.
Well, the fact of the matter is simply is the fact that if you don't trust the quarterback, if this is what you guys are saying and you're convinced, okay. If you're convinced of that, which I'm not convinced of that, well, then you find a quality quarterback to replace him, plain and simple. Sanchez came in as a franchise player. Franchise. He won two USC games with that dude. In fact, with the coach who's coaching Seattle now. And he came in, hot shot, good arm, fast, razzle-dazzle, and got the team to two championship games. But then when they got to the good taste is where they blew it. And you put that, you got to put it on the coaching, because you talk about Ryan is a defensive coach. That's BS. That goes out the window when you're playing a freaking game. You improvise, you change, you do. This is why they blew it with the Steelers. As soon as he got the towing course, and somebody mentioned the towing course, and he gave away the towing course, I told my kid, watching the Jets blew it. You never give a sucker.
Well, no. He had a deep, and when you had a great defense.
Nah, he was wrong. He was dead wrong.
It didn't work out for him, but there are a lot of teams.
He was dead wrong.
The Green Bay Packers,
the
Pittsburgh Steelers. When you had a great defense, you said, you know what? Hey, take the football.
No, because
yes,
the offense
was
freezing.
The point you make is on the okay. In this case, his defense didn't do it. But let's not forget, in the past, he had a defense that did do it. See, I mean, the Jets were one. They still, like C-Wing said, they're still in the top three or four defensively. They've always been an outstanding defensive football team.
I mean, you look at the first season, Sanchez, he throws a lot of interceptions. He's progressing now. He's starting to make a lot of bad decisions as far as getting rid of the ball. This is his breakout year. This is not to say, let's keep
he's making a lot of decisions.
Sanchez. You have to be able to work with the pieces you do have, especially you're in your fourth year. You were progressing very well.
Exactly.
You have to be, and the job of the quarterback is to be the leader on the team. If you look at a quarterback like Peyton Manning, this guy is a leader.
He's a monster.
He's the only quarterback that I know in the league that can actually call into the booth and yell at the guys for the play that they call. He's the only quarterback that I can remember when the coach, when they were fourth and I think it was five, and it was time for the offense to go off the field and the punt team come on the field, he tells the coach, no, we're going to stay. That goes to show what type of respect, leadership.
But there are guys who are quarterbacks, and there are guys who are quarterback leaders. Gentlemen, hold on just a second. We got a little plug here we got to make. This portion of Sports and Death on the Trusted Guard Radio Network has been brought to you by Panama's Barbershop, and that's 21 East 175th Street in the Bronx. Panama. Viva Panama. A good friend of the great Roberto Duran, Barbershop, Andres Barbershop at 21 East 175th Street in the Bronx. Hey, you want your head done right? Go to Panama, 917-751-3393. And at the same time you're in the area, hey, you can find yourself at the Laundria Master, Monday through Sunday, 7 to 10 p.m. every day, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7 to 2, half off on the machines. And that's the same area, same address, 21 East 175th Street in the Bronx. Laundry Master, Monday through Sunday, 7 to 10 p.m. every day, Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's half off on your washes. Panama, 917-751-3390. Andre's Barbershop, 28 175th Street. Hey, and my man Manny Mobile, closed for all occasions. That's, you want it, Manny? Ask for Jay, 646-322-1657. Manny Mobile, closed for all occasions. 646-322-1657. Ask for Jay, and now ask what you want. We're back to Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. It is the Friday wrap. Both New York teams have won. The Nets, what an outstanding defensive display they had today in their big win. And the Knicks continue to win. Some other scores, too. Had some college scores. Morehead beat LIU 77-74. Kentucky is having a hard time. They may have lost. They were trailing 59-57 in their game. As you know, none other than Mike Brown had to leave town. Bernie Bickerstaff, former Washington Bullets coach, has taken over. There's rumors of Phil Jackson coming in. There's rumors of the former Knicks coach. But right now, let's put the rumors aside. We're going to let Mel Cosell. No, not today. Sure shot. As I said in our poem, Cosell, Little Coco, for Rooney has to go. Sure shot, Mel Smith. You are on the weekday show. Ladies and gentlemen, an introduction to the Sports Def Nation, the one and only. Yes, yes, today. Sure shot, Mel Smith. Rooney, introduce the fans to the Sports and Def Nation.
Well, as always, Doctor, the Sports and Def Nation is here. Our Sports in Depth panel is here. Of course, I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We are here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink is here. And that indeed is Doc Stanley. And again, take it away, Doctor.
Bro, Rooney, thanks a lot. And Rooney, you might as well get in the mix here. We're shooting some stuff back and forth. Double Barrel Harold says that Rex Ryan's head is in the noose. He doesn't have the leadership that proposed
Never
to have
had.
Or had. T-Wings is saying a lot of the things that he did have were taken away from him. Expound on that, Shotgun.
I agree, Doc. I think the GM Tannenbaum will go before anybody, and rightfully so. I think Rex will be around, whether they have a lousy year, which they seem they're on the way to, or not. I think Rex can survive this. I think if anyone goes first, it's the GM Tannenbaum. And let me say this, Doc, and let me say this, okay? I have, of all people, all right, said that Sanchez has seemed to have regressed and taken a step back, okay? I don't know if you can win a Super Bowl with this guy or not, even go back to the championship game. However, in fairness, the guy has no weapons, Doc. He has no running back to speak of, no wide receiver to speak of. He has a decent tight end. But all the weapons that the guy had that took him to the championship game the first 2 years have been taken away from him. So to be fair in regard to Sanchez, he's regressed, yes. He hasn't played. He hasn't made others around him better. But in fairness to him, guy has nothing to work with, Doc. The problem with Mark Sanchez,
or the tragedy with Mark Sanchez, from the very beginning, and I've been playing the gospel over and over and over like a broken record, was to bring in Tim Tebow. He has Tim Tebow on his shoulders. He has Tim Tebow on his shoes. Every time he moves, mentally, psychologically, he's worried about, if I make a mistake, he's worried about making mistakes, and he winds up making them because he knows he has Tebow on his shoulders,
right,
on his back.
Right, he's definitely worried about Tebow.
And that's the biggest, stupidest mistake that the Jets made, bringing Tebow here. And I keep telling you that.
And I have to say, Dustin,
like
definitely
would have made a difference.
You were the one who said that first when that rumor first started. No, I'm giving you props, Dust. Give me a second. I'm giving you props.
No.
You were the first one who said, Doc, you got to give Dust props, and he knows it. Because when that was first announced, he said, this is going to be an unmitigated disaster.
Exactly.
And I said, Dusty, no, it's going to be great bringing Tebow in. It's like being Dr. Frankenstein and having the parts to build your own monster. And I said, no, it's going to be great, Dusty. The offensive coordinator has any imagination in his entire body. He will know how to use Tebow to help Sanchez. And Dusty said, I'm telling you, it's going to be an unmitigated disaster.
This is what it is. I mean, we're only, seven games into the season or eight games? I don't see, and the Jets are playing Seattle? Are you kidding? Seattle's going to eat them alive, man. I'll be shocked. I'll be the first one to say, my God, they beat Seattle. Seattle must have had everybody on the disabled list, and the quarterback is coming in drunk. Because I don't think the Jets are going to beat the Seahawks. I mean, and it's downhill from now on, man. I'm telling you, they ruined this team.
They can win, Dusty, if they play and execute like they did against Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And they keep the stupid penalties down and not turn over the ball.
Absolutely.
The Jets will win this 23-20. I see it. They have to play good ball. They have to show up. They have to play. That's really what they have to do.
Yeah. So you want the Jets not to get penalized. You want everybody, every time Mark Sanchez throw the ball, somebody catch it. Every time somebody runs the ball, he's going to get run 10 yards. And then every time he gets the ball down, they get a touchdown. That's what you want.
In other words, man, don't bet the rent money. Okay? You know what I mean? Don't bet the rent money. Doc Stanley, sports and death on the Trust and Guard. Real quickly, Jehovah, quickly. We got the finals for you. The Knicks, 104 to 94 over Dallas. The Knicks are averaging 104 points a game, and the whole opposition is 85 points a game. They're the only undefeated team in the NBA. They're 4-0, and after 10 straight losses to Orlando Magic, the Nets really showed them that they had the magic. 107-68. The Magic scored more than 19 points in one quarter. The Nets are now 2-2 after 10 straight losses. They've got that monkey off the back. Number three, Kentucky, had a close one, but they pulled out against Moore at 72-69. UConn over in Jersey, they won 66-62. That Kentucky game was at the Barclays Classic, a new thing starting over there. And it's Kuroda, not Ishiro, that turned down the contract along with Swisher and Soriano.
Ishiro was a keeper.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
was
she's
Kuroda.
A keeper. Yeah.
All three of them, Soriano, Swisher, and Kuroda.
If I could just give a plug in and congratulations to Texas Tech. They won over Prairie View A&M 89-79, and congratulations to my friend's son, Jamal Williams Jr., who scored 15 points in the game. Jamal Williams Jr. is the second guard for Texas Tech. So a friend of mine's son, victorious. He hit three threes in the first half. I just want to congratulate him.
But hold on. But what about if I said you could mention it? You already did now. You know what I mean?
Wings, could you mention that one more time? You know, you were at the game a couple of years ago. One more time, give us that score and the details on one more time. We're really proud of that score. Go ahead, one more time.
I just want to congratulate the Texas Tech team, 89-79 over Prairie View A&M. My friend's son, who's a second guard, Jamal Williams Jr., he scored 15 points in the game. First half, 3 points. He hit three threes. He's doing very well, young man. I hope he makes it to the NBA, and I wish the best to Texas Tech and continue on their wins.
And we're wishing the best to the NHL. After 4 days now, the owners and the players' negotiations have nothing come out, so it's still a stalemate. There's still no NHL hockey. A lot of the players are playing overseas. One of the big fears is that they'd get hurt. But there's a situation, too, that only there's stipulations certain players can play. They can't take more than three players per team. But day four, no more. There's no hockey happening. 4-0, the New York Knicks, the first time in two decades with this kick. They're the only undefeated team. Carmelo Anthony led the scoring last night, tonight, 31 points. And J.R. Smith off the bench with 22. So the Knicks, 4-0. And they swept the home-and-home series against the Philadelphia 76ers. They beat Dallas. And you know what they did to the world champion Miami Heat. But we know what the Heat did to the Nets. But the Nets, after 10 straight losses to the Orlando Magic, finally found some magic. There was defense, 107-68. And the Nets are 2-2. So New York basketball is 6-2 in playoffs. Here we come. Doc Stanley on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. It's Sports in Depth with our weekday sports wrap. The crew is all here. Like I said, they get different names a day. It is Double Barrel Harold, Sure Shot, Mel Smith Jr., Dead Idea Zusty, and his new name as he's no longer Sea Wings now. But tonight, until the weekend comes, we're talking about Rough Rider Raymond, and he's running some rough terrain here trying to defend the Jets. 23-21, he says he likes them on Sunday. If they're going to give you points, take the points, but do not take any money out the bank and bet on this game for the Jets. We're winning right here now.
And I mean? See the Giants. I give the Giants 27-14 over the Cincinnati.
The Bengals.
Yeah.
Especially if they decide to show up this week. If they don't continue playing giveaway.
Yeah, especially if they decide to show up this week.
Well, hey, but hold it. Hey. You know, and I'll, even though it's a new alias, Sure Shot, when we get Dusty was the first one to ride up. You know, Dusty rode up, and when I told him the score and how great defensively the Nets had played, Dusty said, well, what they need to do is supplant the Nets basketball players with the Giants football players, and so the Nets defense can play for the Giants defense. But well, no, it's really been a matter of the offense. You know, Eli Manning hasn't thrown a touchdown in the last two games. And Harold made a tremendous point about Tom Coughlin, guy. You know, it's funny thing about Coughlin and Jerry Reese. You never hear anything about these guys. All these guys have done is won two Super Bowls in the last 4 years, one of the most successful teams in pro football, and they just don't get a lot of ink. And what I was stunned, I don't shoot this at Rooney, was that it said that Belichick and Ryan Sure Shot was two guys that people don't like to play for. Now, what's your thoughts on that there?
Oh, in regard to Belichick and Ryan? Well, my thing, Doc, my thing is I still say Dusty's going to laugh me out of here. I know I'm a minority of one. But you're not going to tell me that in regard to Tebow and company, okay? I mean, you got a guy that's 6'4", 255. You are telling me you can't bring this guy in to get a yard for you, man? You know Sanchez isn't going to run with the damn ball, even if he has an opening. You know he's not going to run with the ball if the passing lane breaks down. You tell me you got a guy 6'4", 255, you can't get me a yard, man? You can't get me. You can't get this boy. I got this guy, the ball. You can't get me a yard, man. He's 6'4", 255. And then they're gonna bring the guy in for one. And then they're gonna bring the guy in for one play at a time. You got to be gonna bring the guy in and get him. Let him play four or five, six plays at a time to get some kind of rhythm. All you guys on this panel have basically been professional athletes in one way or another,
or at least a couple of the boxers have been. You have to get in some kind of rhythm. You can't bring the guy in cold one play and expect him to establish any damn thing.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, he has no business coming in cold. I mean, there was I forgot what the game where Sanchez was on a drive, and they pulled Sanchez out, and he came in and threw it to an interception. I mean, what pimple brains are these guys are using? I mean, this is ridiculous. This is why I'm saying, sure, the guys are being paid some beautiful money. They paid me. I'll be a Tim Tebow. I don't care what I do. I'll carry the flag in the water if I have to. I don't care. I'm getting paid millions, man.
He has no shame. He has no shame. Give him the money and he has no shame.
That's right. It's all about the money, Doc. But the fact of the matter is that you want to talk about a franchise that's going to win the Super Bowl, Blunderbuss Rex Ryan from the first day he walked in. We're going to win. We're better than any other team, insulting any other team and talking all that trash. And look where he's at. He's walking the plank like a freaking pirate ship, man.
You know, that's like Doc and Panel. That is the boxing equivalent, okay, of having a championship fight and bring a boxer to come in to fight the fifth round and take him the hell out. Come on, fight the fifth for me and say, all right, what the fifth? All right, let's go. Bring the guy
all
in.
Right,
that's the really do the fight.
Exactly. Look, I won the first five rounds, so you come in and take the less.
Come and fight around and relieve him.
Yes,
come hey, Harold, you know, you and you too, Dusty. I mean, don't you, Harold? I mean, you were a great fighter. You were matching. Nobody ever came to you and asked you to train him, Harold?
No. I mean,
are you serious?
There's a couple of guys that asked me, but I just didn't see the purpose of it because I require too much from a guy, for a fighter.
Like what?
Are you willing to die?
Discipline? Discipline?
Hey, Carol, you ask a guy like that, you'll never have anything to work with over there, guy. Okay, Carol, if you want a guy to answer yes to that one.
The reason why I say that because you know, no matter what you do, being a police officer, being in the military, being anything that you do, you've got to know that these fields that you're going in, you can die. So it doesn't exist. You know, you took it to the heart that you want to live for a purpose, and you're doing it for a situation.
Dooku Kim, when he fought Mancini. It wasn't taking. Hey man, he said. Hey man, he said what you're saying. He was willing to die.
And you know something, Doc? If that wouldn't have ended in tragedy, that would have gone down as one of the great rumbles of all time.
Yeah.
No question.
If it wouldn't have ended in tragedy, it would have went down, Doc, as one of the great fights of all time. Because up until the tragedy, that's what it was—a tremendous.
The reason why that fight went the way it did because they were fighting outdoors and it was so hot out there. And
wow.
And the light. And that was the whole
thing. Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why I pump my chest. This is why I say they are the absolute best. Now there's a point that you brought up, and you people listening out there, Doc Stanley on the Trust and Guard Radio Network Sports in Depth, it is a Friday sports wrap. This is why, you know, all during these shows, there's something that you hear and you've never heard before. And people talk about everything about it, and nobody ever. Hey, man, they asked you, how are you still alive after you had fought that fight with Benitez in Puerto Rico?
Well, that's the kind of, I'm saying what I'm saying because I was on that edge and I understand it. And basically, it takes you to another level. I mean, you live in two lives when you're going through a fight like that and you're under 110 degrees, 115, 20 degrees weather and the sun is on you and you're fighting 15 rounds. And you're fighting a tough guy that, you know, that's a good fighter, a great fighter. The thing is that your whole body goes through another transform after 10 rounds. And pretty much you're pretty much numb. You're just going through the motions that you have been trying in the gym, and you're just going through the procedures in the last three or four rounds of the fight and everything. And so basically you have no control of your system no more. And people don't understand that. But the fact is that, you know, when you fight in that kind of weather and then underneath that in that sun, you know, that's the whole thing of, you know, where fighters can die. And people, well, athletes will die under those circumstances. And that's the come, you try to, you know, keep the body as cold. And that's come they kept towels on me and kept, when I kept going to the corner, I couldn't wait to get back to the corner because when I got back there, they had this cold towel that they put in ice and they put it right on my shoulder. And it was like, you know, relieve my body and everything. So that was a lot to save me, to keep giving that energy to keep going. But I can tell you, we even needed that for the air conditioner arena that day. You never had a chance.
The fighters, Harold, should all fights now be held, you know, in indoor air conditioned arenas, Harold?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the fact that, you know, you just got to have the right tools and the right people know what they're doing with you. I mean, you know. It depends on the fighter because you got to understand, too, it depends on what kind of condition that fighter is going to be in for that fight because a lot of these fighters today, they're not in that super, super, super condition to sustain such a brutal fight. But right now, I mean, you're not going to get in brutal fights now because the guys don't know what they're doing pretty much and they're not taking no vicious beatings like they did before because those guys were really exhibition fighters. I was looking at the internet, right? And I was looking at a film of Davey Moore and Sugar Ramos, okay? I mean, you guys just got to understand, those were vicious guys who were throwing vicious punches. These guys today is nowhere in it. But I'm just saying that when you're fighting under those circumstances of heat and you're going all out, your body is only condition for so much. And I, like I said to you before, when you asked me did I train fighters, why I don't train fighters, and the word is, were you willing to die? That's what you're facing.
Exactly.
What you're facing regardless.
I train amateur fighters. I didn't train any pros after I hanged up the gloves. And I had some pretty good amateurs because I was, like Harold says, and I echo what he says, I was death on these guys, man. I mean, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I taught them as well as trained them and monitored what they were doing as, you know, when they went into that ring. I got a couple of kids went to the finals of the gloves. I have to say, if I'm lying, I'm dying. One of them was robbed in the finals. He almost killed the freaking dude, but the guy made a comeback in the last 30 seconds and they gave him the decision. But I mean, these kids are pretty good amateurs, but I never went turn as a pro trainer, man. But it was a headache to make sure that you monitor these guys, that they did their curfews, they ran in the morning and they did all, you know, you try to inject what you did, and it's a hard transition. And what are they willing to die? Yes, this is what you got to do. But that philosophy is, you know, doesn't work today.
Right, but my point let me look at it this way. Football is tough, man. Football is tough. I don't care what nobody says. You want to get injured in football. I don't care what position you play. You are going to get injured in football, or you're going to get hurt badly. Now, think about this.
Right.
And that's a death wish type of sport. My point is that when those guys take that deal, when those guys want to play that game, they know that these things can happen. Do you think they're worried about it? No. They're willing to take the sacrifice. But what they know they got to do, you got to be in condition to sustain the punishment and hope God that nothing do happen to you. But basically, in your mind, before you make that step, the words are, you can get paralyzed or you can die from this.
You see guys like Michael Strahan and a couple other players when, you know, around that time when he was playing, they fought against, drafting kids out of high school like they did in the NBA to play football.
Right.
I mean, it's a totally different sport. I mean, they're not as big. You see the college players. They're not as big as the pros. These guys are young kids. You're going up against guys that are 250, 280,
yeah.
320 pounds running a 440. You know, so,
right,
I mean,
absolutely.
These guys, you're dealing with the best of the best.
Hold on, gang. Hold on a minute. He's here. Laredo Lou, hoops any other time. He's here. And,
yeah, I'm here. Hey, y'all. Good evening, y'all. What's up,
hey,
y'all?
Hey, hey,
hello.
Hey. Forget to get evening. Get to some basketball.
Hey,
what happened with this Mike Brown thing, man?
You want to know what happened? They
yeah,
didn't give him a chance. They didn't give him a chance to coach. And plus, he wasn't the right. Like I said a couple months ago, he wasn't the right coach for the job anyway. They're gonna run a Harvard offense in the NBA? Come on now, no, it didn't work.
How much of this? I mean, because it seemed that Kobe was supporting him. Did
yeah,
that
Kobe
change?
Supported him, but the boss. Jim Boss' son didn't support him. Jerry Boss' son didn't support Mike Brown.
Okay, okay.
He made the ever since they didn't play no defense and they lost that last game and then Kobe with that stare down, that was it after that.
Now Kobe stared down the coach?
He stared him down. He didn't look like he wanted to kill him. I watched that game, I couldn't believe it. The Lakers are a fast break team. They're not a Harvard offensive team.
Showtime. Run and gun.
Exactly.
The Carmelo Anthony, and what people are forgetting about this. Hold on, gang. Let me real quickly interject this into here. Let me call my horse. Come over here, Spradley. Hold on a minute. Let me ride this up to you. You have a little something. The Urban League Classic is canceled this year. Some situations came up. I don't know how much Hurricane Sandy had to do with it. I knew both Hampton and Morgan were just so elated about playing the game in Yankee Stadium. It was going to be played this year and next year. And the coaches said, you know, that was a good thing. You know, you're going to play the Classic, but they were playing it in Jersey. Now, the other side of that coin, Patrick Farrar was saying that there were so many people in Jersey who were upset because Jersey, the parking lot there allowed a lot of the pregame festivities to happen, and it just was more conducive in a lot of ways to things happening before and after the football game. Got the notice the other day that the game has been canceled. Morgan and Hampton Institute, in fact, Hampton University, I remember it used to be Hampton Institute, my Aunt Naomi, Howard Bethay got her master's from there, and some of the great names that came out of Morgan, I mean, everybody knows about Hall of Famer Leroy Kelly, but also Hall of Famer Rosie Brown. The guy that first carried the name and fame of Morgan, and you also had Willie Lanier, Raymond Chester, our friend, my good buddy, Bill Roden, is a product of Morgan State. And they also had the Fugers, but the big names, Rosie Brown, Leroy Kelly, Willie Lanier, Raymond Chester, and Bill Roden, to name some. But this year, after all the glee and the fact that they were going to finally play the game at Yankee Stadium again, and, you know, kids are going to stay in New York, the games are going to be played the 17th of this month, so it had a really of a big, big bowl feel. Well, unfortunately, the game has been canceled. It's scheduled for next year, so I don't know if they're going to do the next 2 years as opposed to they were going to do this year and next year. But the Urban League Classic, at one time it was the Whitney M. Young Urban League Classic, named after the president of the Urban League who drowned. Remember, he tragically drowned. The Classic was named after him. But there'll be no Classic this year. Situation, I don't know how much Hurricane Sandy had to do with it. On the other hand, you always want to salute the late George M. Steinbrenner, the third, who was so instrumental in the game, and the fact that the Urban League was one of the charities that when he brought the Yankees that
right.
he supported. And him and Mr. Robinson were very, very close friends. So this was something that they definitely wanted to do. They will look forward to doing it. The circumstance situation has allowed the game, and it had to be canceled. So I know all the energies were put into it to bring it forth, but evidently something's come up to not let it be. Back to basketball, Hoopster. The Nets won a big game after losing 10 straight to the Magic. They won,
right.
held them almost to like to a high school score. But the Knicks, and what nobody's talking about is, you know, Melo. And I always thought the guy that they spent the big money on, who's now on the bench for a while, I think he may be better coming off the bench.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, and plus, Carmelo Anthony looked good. He's in shape. He's in good shape now. Mm-hmm. Very good shape. Last year he wasn't in shape, but that was a half season. But this year he looked good. He's in shape. And plus he was on the Olympic team, as you know.
Yeah, with that, well, 31 points tonight. J.R. Smith comes off the bench with 22 points.
Hey, I know y'all still want to know about this Mike Brown situation. You know, they owe him $18 million, Doc.
$18 million?
They owe him $18
million. Now, how many years was his contract?
I think like a 3 or 4 year deal.
So, and they still owe him $18 million after 2 years?
They're going to pay him that $18 million. They're going to eat his contract. And plus, you know, they want to come back to coaching, right? They're trying to make some. They got a few candidates. I think you already know who they are already.
Boy, they're talking about Phil Jackson and D'Antoni.
Oh, and D'Antoni. Then you have Brian Shaw. That I said he should have had the job in the first place.
Well, yeah.
Then you had Jerry Sloan.
What happened with that Brian Shaw? I mean, how did Brown?
They just passed him over.
Yeah, but how did it happen? Shaw is basically cut from Laker cloth. Brown was the guy, as you can see, he brought in this college offense. I mean, how did overlook Brian Shaw like that?
That's a good question. I have no idea. But I said that he should have got the job in the first place. I said on the show a while back he should have got it. Then also more candidates. He had Jerry Sloan, and they had Jeff Gundy and his brother.
Wow. But the thing here with Odedeye, Dusty, they keep talking about Phil Jackson, but I'll call you tonight, your Laredo Lou, but the Hoopster. So, Hoopster, in your mind, is there a remote chance of Phil Jackson coming back to the Lakers?
I don't think so. You know why? Because he's going to want part ownership. He's going to want a piece of the team. And plus, also, Seattle might have a franchise. I think he might go there because he might be a part owner of the Seattle team. They might be open up a Seattle franchise over there. He want a piece of ownership. So I don't think the Lakers are going to give it to him. So I think he probably go to Seattle for part ownership like that.
No, Hoopster, what happened in that relationship? I mean, this supposed to have been, he was Jerry Best's daughter.
Oh, he's still dating his daughter. He's living in L.A. now, Doc. He's not in Montana. He's in L.A. living with Jeannie.
But I just thought they had a better report. They were winning. They won championships. I mean, what happened?
When they lost, that was it. He couldn't take it no more. When they lost, that was it.
He said he was tired.
He was tired. Plus, he had surgery.
He was ill for a long time.
Plus, he was tired.
Yeah.
Plus, he can't hardly walk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It took a toll on you.
The funny thing about Phil Jackson, and you look across the board, like I was stunned. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Trust and God Radio Network. It is Sports Wrap Friday. We gave you the scores NHL-wise. There's been no movement in the talk with the labor leaders and the owners. Knicks won their fourth straight, first time in two decades. They're the only undefeated team in the NBA. Even their record at 2-2 after 10 straight losses to the Orlando Magic. As the Magic themselves called defense, held them to only 19 points in any one quarter, 107-68 win. We also told you about the contract refusal, Soriano, Swisher, and Kuroda at the Yankees. So those guys have said sayonara or no. But the thing here that gets me, and I look at this, you know, I look at the old Knicks. You know, DeBusschere was GM at one time. Here's Phil Jackson, who's getting the coaching opportunities. And these opportunities never came to Frazier or Monroe or Barnett. And you look across the core in the history of sport. You know, where are the GM jobs for Willie Mays and Hank Aaron and Bob Gibson? I mean, Walt White. I mean, this is just a slap in the face to every African-American former manager and coach in baseball. Walt White got a job as a manager, and he was snatched from high school. You look at the core sports.
The great superstars
never get the opportunity. Robinson. Yeah, I mean, you look at Jordan. He buys it to a horrible team. Elgin Baylor, Will Chamberlain. Russell, one of you guys, coach.
Don't forget Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, Patrick. I mean, now here's Patrick.
Don't forget Willis Reed too. Now,
well, Willis did get a shot.
Yes, he got a shot with the Knicks
in Atlanta. But see, that's the point. The names I mean, I'm just talking about the superstar players. It seems that some of the non-superstar players, Bickerstaff, you know, Doc Rivers, outstanding player, but not he's not a 50 grade player.
Oh, he's coaching tonight, Doc. He's taking over tonight. That's coaching duties.
Bickerstaff?
Bernie Bickerstaff, yes.
Yeah. So in other words, he's just interim coach. He's not going
to
do it for the rest of the year.
He's an interim coach, yes, he is. So they heard they're trying to find, and listen to this, they're going to try to find a placement coach immediately.
Really?
Yeah. And also, the reason why they also got rid of Mike Brown because they didn't play no defense, they have no offense, they look like they were tired out there.
Well,
they
you know, the defense thing is always overrated in sports. Walt Frazier once told me if Harold Weston is scoring 27 points a game, if Destino Lewis is getting 28 points a game, if Rudy is getting 25, I'm not going to, unless I just put a serious Herculean effort, but I have to stop him at the crucial time. The game is tied. Now, I got to make sure Dusty gets the ball out of his hands. I got to make sure Harold is not where he wants to shoot. I got to make sure that Mel is not in the spot he wants. He passes the ball. So, you know, you're not going to stop a guy from getting his point. And I'm looking as Marion Borkin says, Marion B. Borkin, black, bodacious, brilliant, a brother. And also we want to see get well wishes out to Lady A, who's Abilene A. She's recovering from some oral surgery, so we miss you and get well.
Get well, girl. Get well, lady.
I just look at defense. And you look through the course of sports. How many great players in basketball play defense? No, they kill me with that. How many? Jordan is a rare exception.
Walt Frazier.
Okay, Frazier. You know,
Scottie Pippen.
Not to make the Knicks so great because you had Reed, DeBuscher, and Frazier who played great defense. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Three guys like that on one team.
Right.
But they always talk about defense. But, you know, who plays it? Nobody comes to any sport to see defense. I want to see somebody hit a home run. I want to see somebody score a touchdown. I want to see somebody score a basket. So, I mean, they talk about defense. I mean, it's like a police officer. When you lock somebody up, you're always throwing resisting arrest, whether they did or not. You know, and the first thing, anytime you talk about a problem, it's defense. You know, so, I mean, I mean, 1-4 is really.
And the Clippers the Clippers are in first place. Go to imagine, right?
Yeah, well, the Clippers have pretty good basketball.
They're a good team. I told y'all, watch out for the Clippers now.
Pretty good basketball team now.
Doc, I got something else to tell you too. Is really interesting. You know, they signed a new channel. They got a new cable network now. They got to sign a new deal with a cable network. And some of the fans are upset because they're not showing the hardly no Laker games. So the fans are outraged now. So there's a lot of pressure from the fans. That's why I think Boss made that move to fire Brown.
Really? So in a lot of ways, you're saying he's a scapegoat.
Not really, but I blame the team. I can't blame the coach. You got to blame the team. I blame that offense, that new offense by Eddie Jordan. I know you know who he is. He's been with
Eddie,
the Nets. He's been the coach with the Nets.
Well, he has a good track record. But, I mean,
how can you put a Harvard offense on a West Coast team? It don't work.
So, in other words, Mike Brown got fired for hiring Jordan to implement his offense.
Exactly. And anyway, it worked with New Jersey. I didn't say, but you cannot put a Harvard offense in a West Coast team like the Lakers. It don't work. It can't work. No way. It maybe work with the East Coast, but not the West Coast. The Lakers are, you know, up and down team. It don't work like that. That's a slowdown game. The Lakers cannot play a slowdown game, Doc.
Well, yeah,
they can't do it.
Not without Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
There you go. That's the 80s.
Yeah.
That probably worked in the 80s, not now. These guys are bigger, stronger, faster, and elite.
It worked too because Jabbar could go both ways.
Exactly.
If you had to slow the game down, you could give it to him.
Right.
But the thing here, too, now, I mean, how healthy is Howard?
Oh, he's 70% healthy. And I told you they're rushing too quick. I told you they're rushing too fast. You could tell he's still hurt. He'd be bending down. I watched that last game. He was bending down, hanging on his shorts, man.
This is an amazing thing, though. Harvard offense, Dartmouth offense, Brownsville offense, with the players they have on the floor. Kobe Bryant, one of the 50 greatest players. Okay,
yeah.
You got two-time MVP in Steve Nash. You got
he's
Howard.
Hurt. They got a lot of players hurt, too, Doc.
So maybe this is more of the players really not being 100% as opposed to the offense not clicking.
But, you know, I'll tell you something, too. Also, it's to send a message, too, that everybody's job is not safe.
Well, everybody's job is not safe outside of Kobe Bryant.
Oh, besides Kobe Bryant, exactly. That was a message sent out. And plus, Mitch Kupchak called a meeting, too. he just called a meeting that day too. Say everybody, it's all about winning now.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, here's the thing: is Doc Stanley Sports Death for the Trust and Guard ready? That we, I mean, who's is that? You see Wings?
Yeah.
What are you about to say?
I want to ask you, do you think in the long run, the long term, the Lakers will make the postseason as?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yes, yes. Yeah, definitely.
Top 3 seed.
I picked them one of the top four. I picked them. Yeah, they'll be there. They'll be there.
Okay.
They just got to gel together. And plus, they got injuries. Steve Nash is hurt. And Howard's not healthy. So, also, they need a point guard to run the offense.
Isn't that what Steve Nash is?
Yeah, but yeah, he's hurt. But Derek Fisher's waiting. And you got Rajon Bell. They need the backup Steve Nash. That's what I'm saying.
How crucial do you think it was by them trading Odom away that is contributing to some of this?
Well, I don't think it would have made a difference, man.
Really?
I don't think it made a difference. Mm-mm.
Wow.
You go with the team you got. Mm-mm. And plus, he had too much issues anyway, man. He didn't have his head right. So that's the reason why they got rid of him.
But now, you know, my thing is, you know, now I heard that a lot of the problems there is Kupchak. I heard that he doesn't have the
confidence. No, it's the son, Doc. I think it's the son. Because the father's not well. Jerry's not well.
Mm-hmm.
So the son's taking over.
Okay.
I think it's the son, not Kupchak. I think Kupchak's getting pressure from the son, Doc.
Okay.
And that's what it's going on.
That's why Phil Jackson might have left, too, because he didn't want to deal with the son.
But, you know,
he's dating his sister. He's dating his sister.
I mean, you know, his sister can date who she wants to date.
Ursa,
one of the big problems, you know, when Jerry West left. It's an amazing thing, man. What goes around comes around. Doc Stanley Sports and Death on the Friday Sports Wrap on the radio, Trust and Guard Radio Network. Now, I heard that Jerry West and Phil Jackson didn't get along.
Right. Yeah, I heard that.
And that was part of Zeke, the first Zeke from Cabin Creek, leaving the Lakers.
Yeah.
Now you're telling me that when the son came in, there was some problems with him and Jackson.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah. So Jackson's gone now. Brown for $18 million. Hey, you can fire me for $18 million. I got no problem with
and
that.
And also,
you
can know? I say something else, too? He couldn't win with LeBron, and he couldn't win with Kobe.
What's that?
He couldn't win with LeBron. He couldn't win with Kobe. And like I said earlier from the show past, that was a wrong choice for him in the first place, to pick him in the first place.
But the question, well, why was he – so evidently – somebody must have liked him. The son must have liked him. Somebody
Yeah, but when it comes to business, there's no – you just tell me, no business like friends.
Well, yeah,
so,
but still, I mean, somebody gave him the job. A lot of guys –
oh,
that's,
he got
I
the
mean,
job,
baseball,
yeah, because he was commentating.
He's
a great defensive
example.
Coach. He's a great defensive coach.
Yeah, but I mean, baseball is a great example of guys who have the job because they're friends.
Yeah,
I mean,
he got
you know,
the job. He's a good coach, but that's not the place for him. He'll get a job somewhere, but, you know, the L.A. was not for him. And plus, there was too much pressure down there, man.
Now, tell me, in a case like this, now, he's owed $18 million. Does he have to stay out until the end of that contract? Or can
he has to stay out until the end of that contract. Yep.
Because if he takes another contract, then that contract becomes void.
Void, that's correct. That's right. That's right, but, hey, like you said, $18 million? Hey, you going to fire me? Fire me. I sit on my butt, I'll commentate and still get paid. $18 million, and they got to eat that contract too. And you know they got $100 million in payroll, Doc.
Wow,
$100 million in payroll.
Okay, then who's the dark horse out there? Are we looking for Oklahoma to come again? Is San
Antonio? Well, can I tell you something about them? That was a bad move with Hardy. That's going to hurt them.
Well, why?
That's
why do you get rid of a guy like that? He's such. I mean, you go to the final.
Well, he wanted $50 million. He wanted an extra $1 million, and now Houston gave him $80 million.
Hold on. He wanted $1 million more.
Yes, that's correct.
And they wouldn't give it to him.
And they got rid of him.
$1 million more.
And they got rid of him.
They
offered him $55 million.
He wanted.
And he turned it down. So that's okay. You turn it down, we're gonna trade you. And that's what happened. They traded him. Now look at him, leading scoring in the NBA.
and he got a bigger contract. It's just
$80 million. He's playing and he's starting with Jeremy Lin in the backcourt.
He's
starting. He's not off the bench no more. He's starting. And Houston's doing good too. Unreal. That's gonna hurt Oklahoma City. I'm gonna tell you now, that's gonna hurt him.
Well, no question. I mean, how do you
I think the Lakers could beat them now because the Lakers couldn't beat them because Hardy was the only guy who gave Kobe a problem. Now, being that he's not there, Kobe going to go off now. He's going to put you on Kobe.
Looking at the Knicks, what we see so far, the playoffs they made it last year, they a threat?
Threat. Oh, yeah. They better sleep on them. Oh, yes. They better take notice on the Knicks. Don't forget, that was like a 50-game season. Remember, don't forget. Now, everybody's in shape, so the Knicks looking good out there. And Mike Woodson got some guys playing ball. And they're also passing the ball more, too. They're passing the ball more. I like that now. They're playing together now. They're passing the ball, sharing the ball with one another. I like that.
So now
they're playing good.
Is it possible that our man on the bench could be expendable for, you know?
You never know. No, don't surprise me. You've seen it. I know you've seen it. I know you've seen it, everything. No, surprise me anymore. Especially with Mike Brown. That was a shock. I never thought he'll get fired. I thought he'd probably get fired after the All-Star game or something, but not five games. And also, you know who the last coach who ever got fired, Doc? Was
You talking about West?
The last coach who ever got fired was Shades from the Buffalo Braves. One game from 71-72.
One game?
One game they fired him.
He got fired after one game? The coach
one
of
game,
Buffalo?
Doc. Oh, this the hoops are talking.
Name?
One game, Doc.
What was the coach's name?
Dolph Shades.
Dolph Shades, one of the 50 greatest players, I believe. One game, and Dolph Shades was fire Condeo. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. It's Sports Rap Friday on the Trusted Guard Radio Network. Laredo Lou Hoopster here with the Inside Scoop. We had to talk some basketball. We got to get to you. The Knicks continue to win the only undefeated team in NBA as they beat the Dallas Mavericks. They swept the Sixers already in a home-and-home series. They're 4-0. It's the first time they've been a 4-0 in two decades. They're averaging 104 points, and they're also holding opposition to 84 points. So they're playing both sides of the basketball. We got to do a real quick look. I was surprised. Well, I'm not surprised at some of the things that you're reading here, but looking at the basketball, this sort of like handicapping, it was the Falcons are 8-0, Texans are 7-2, the Bears are 7-2, the Niners are 6-2, Giants 6-3, Ravens 6-2, the Packers, who seemed like they were dead for a while, they're 6-3 now. The Vikings, a surprise 5-4, but maybe they're coming back to earth. The Colts 5-3, a lot of people are surprised at the Seahawks. You know, a couple of games here there. I mean, they're not really all that elite at a 5-4 record. Steelers, though, have won some very big games. A game against the Eagles that they didn't let get away. The big week game last week where they beat the Giants. They're 5-3. And also the Broncos.
But Seattle could be a Trojan horse. Remember, they won their division 7-9, Seattle. You remember they got into the postseason 7-9. That's how weak that division is. So,
Tebow.
Well, the Patriots, you know, Patriots.
I'm still not sold on Atlanta.
Really?
I mean,
they're overrated.
You know, I'm not sold on them.
Me neither.
Really?
Neither
what
we're
gonna
do, Gam?
I'm sold on us. As I can see, if everybody has a little time, we're gonna do mic on, lights off for a few minutes. Doc Stanley's Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. The Posse's here. John Coltrane is here. And we want you to stay here as we continue to handicap our football, bring you the latest in the world of sports here on the Trust in God Network. Sports in Depth is the show. Larry Hardesty will close us out, and then Rooney will close us out, and we'll be right back. Larry, you got something to say?
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us.
And Rooney, tell everybody sayonara, and then we come on back.
Sports with Doctor, the Sports in Depth Nation's been here. The Sports in Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr., I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network, and the straw that stirs the drinks been here. And that has been Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Rooney. Three thoughts. Live your life today as if you stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is what you pay for your space here on Earth. And with that, we will say sayonara to Sports in Depth with the mic on, lights off. Now what we're going to do, we're going to cut the lights off, but leave the mic on as we come back. Now, with Sports in Depth, mic on, lights off, it will bring us in, and Rooney will keep us there. Larry, you got something to say?
There are seven wonders of the universe. You're about to hear the eighth. Welcome to Sports in Depth on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. It's mic on, lights off, and none other than a shotgun, sure shot, tonight. But Mel, Coach Sal Smith Jr. will bring us in as we do mic on, lights off, another good 15-20 minutes as we handicap the rest of the football and a couple of the unfinished loose ends that we want to talk about. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. And now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I bring to you the one and only, tonight, Sure Shot Mel. Any other time, he's Mel Smith Costell Jr. Rooney!
Thank you, Doctor. Well, we now have Sports in Depth Extra. A little extra for the Sports in Depth Nation that's here. Sports in Depth panel is here. Mel Smith Jr., I'm here. Again, we are here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network, and the straw that stirs the drink is here. Sports in Depth Extra. Doc Stanley, take it away.
Thank you, Rooney, and doesn't get any better than that. Okay, we're back in. We're looking at some football here. Howard already told us that if you take your rent money and bet on the Jets, well, they just you won't have any place to stay. You know what I mean? Howard said you could.
Poor Jets.
You can let Sea Wing handicap you if you want, baby. But if they ain't gonna take you in, don't pull nothing out the bank. Look at the scores, the records. The Dolphins.
Looking good
at four and four. I mean, who would have thought they would be 4-4? But I tell you what's even stunning, and you're talking about guys' job who's on the line. As Hal talks about Rex Ryan, but the Chargers, Sea Wings, they're only 4-4, man. They're only 4-4.
I think if they don't make the postseason this year, you're going to probably see Phillip Rivers and North Turner take a trip down the river. I think you're really going to see, during the Reggie Bush days, I think they were at their height. They were a team to reckon with, but they were that team that just couldn't get over the hump. And it doesn't look like it's going to happen this year either. So North Turner may be looking for another job. Who knows? But he's definitely there. Andy Reid, I wouldn't expect to see him back next year. Michael Vick, he's probably going to be here to stay probably another 1-2 years just with the contract that they gave him. I mean, who's going to pick it up? I mean, he is getting older. He's getting hurt more. They're on the line, but I agree with Rooney.
You don't think Vick, you say let's say Rivers leaves San Diego. You don't think San Diego might would take a chance having Vic there, warm weather, they're going to play half their games, all the home games in warm weather. They're going to play majority of games in warm weather. Could the transition of getting out of cold weather be advantageous to Vic, and not to mention brand-new scenery?
I mean, it could always be advantageous, as we know, playing in football. This is the time of the year that it really becomes treacherous. You have to run the ball more because of the cold weather. The ball is harder to catch. It's like throwing a rock. So can it be better? Yeah, it can add to it, but Vic has to learn how to retain that ball.
Run out of bounds.
When you see that defensive lineman coming at you out of control.
Right.
Drop to the ground. You're not that young Vic that you were when you played for Atlanta.
You did they got a chance against Dallas on Sunday?
Steelers? Yeah.
No, no. I'm talking about the Eagles. We played the Chiefs, so
Eagles
I ain't worried about
over
that.
Dallas? That's a toss-up. The
well,
Eagles
you know
and
what?
Dallas?
I tell you, anybody and everybody has a chance to beat Dallas. And it just, I mean, Dallas has lost a couple of games that they should have won. I mean, you look at the Giant game. It's 2nd and 19, and they're throwing the football. You look at the game last week. I mean, Dallas has lost games that anybody has a shot against Dallas. And it seems to be the biggest reason is Tony Romo. I mean, in games where he's passed 40 times or more, they're 0-13. I don't know if he did it last week. That means all 14. I mean, you
look
know.
Look at the 9-11 game.
Huh?
Last year. Look at the 9-11 game.
You know what? Hold on. How much? Doc Stanley Sports in Depth on the Trust and God Radio Network, mic on, lights off, Sports in Depth Extra, as Melko said. How much do the Jets miss Revis?
I think it's not as much as we think.
Right,
because,
exactly.
You can't put the team. It's 11 guys on the field. You can't
right.
put it on the shoulders of
yeah,
one
but,
player.
Yeah, but the thing they said about him, since I see, is that you know with him, that whole side of the field, you have to worry about. So now you gave the offense only one side of the field to play, and you gave all the rest of the defense. So I mean, so you're telling me it's a psychological thing. On both sides, it's psychological advantage for the Jets, but it wasn't as psychological as it is supposed to be?
Yeah, I mean, not to take anything away from Revis. He's the best cornerback in the league. But, you know, Cromartie has stepped up in a lot of since Revis went down. Cromartie has stepped up tremendously. I mean,
he's done well.
But
when you think about that talk, they're going to the
playoffs. Oh, they might go to the playoffs. If they lose Sunday, they'll be going to the playoffs expecting this.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. They have to play Seattle, and then the following week, they're playing the St. Louis Rams in another dome stadium, which is another loud stadium.
Yeah. With the Rams.
And then they come over for Thanksgiving to play the Patriots, and by that time, they're either going to be stuffing or turkeys. You know what I mean? Either way, that goes. Real quick here, the Buccaneers are 4-4, and surprisingly enough, they own the league's top-ranked rushing defense and ninth-best rushing offense. So at 4-4, they could be kind of like a dark horse. But, I mean, the Jets, what it comes down to, As we mentioned those three, the Jets can't afford to lose. But I mean, you and C Wing saying that you and Dusty that they don't miss Revis that much.
No, they miss Revis a lot. Yes, they do.
In so much as to that, you have some defensive players have stepped up to the plate and kind of filled in those,
So
exactly.
you're saying that this just stellar defense that we've seen would not have happened if Revis wasn't there, if Revis was still there.
Right.
I mean, with Revis there, he adds an extra layer to the defense, but he just takes away one half of the field. The Jets have always been weak in the middle of the field. Tom Brady takes them apart in the middle of the field. Most teams pick the Jets' defense secondary apart in the middle of the
This is amazing. Doc Stanley, it's Mike on Life. This is amazing to me, Rooney. But it's not amazing because all you guys here are amazing. And I just can't top the genius and what you'll bring here. But, you know, you see this, and I'm stunned that, Mel, that the Jets don't see this. If everybody knows you can beat them in the middle, why are they not doing the things to stop that? Why are they not bringing the kind of defense that can make, the situation better defensively for them? I mean, you said they've always been able to get beat in the middle of the field. I mean, so if you can see that, why can't they see that?
They're not doing the homework.
They just don't have the people that can, like you said, so that means that one half of the field that he had knocked up is now, you know, open for business. They have no pass rush to speak of. You know, their linebackers aren't really stellar. I mean, you know, they have a lot of holes, that Jet team. And as our panel was saying, you can throw the ball over the top on them all day long.
Yeah, but they have not done their homework. They have not strategized and planned for one guy, the key guy, missing, and they've sort of put the team on this key guy, and now they haven't been able to adjust to the missing of Revis. You know, Revis is sure he's a good safety, but hey, you adjust when a guy gets injured. Harold said it, football is a rough game. I mean, look at guys being carried off the field every Sunday. I mean, a twisted ankle, a knee, a shoulder, a concussion. Look what they did to Victor Cruz two games in a row. They knocked him flat, and he had to be taken out of the game for a while. And who's the replacement? You got to get guys who replace him. I mean, Victor Cruz is only one guy, man. With Eli Manning faltering just two or three weeks ago, they said he was the greatest quarterback, and he's not. He's floundering. He's not playing the way he's supposed to be playing. And
the fact that the
ball,
offensive line hasn't protected him in the last few games the way they did earlier in the year.
No, it's not so much protection. He's running scared. He's throwing the ball into double coverage, into interceptions, and throwing Hail Marys when he could. Like I said last week, the name of the game of football is to eat up the yardage and keep that run alive into the end zone, into the red zone. First downs, not by throwing bombs. The first time they had the ball, possession of the ball last week, he throws a bomb into the end zone. That was stupid. I don't know who called that.
Well, I mean, he wasn't trying to do it on purpose. Gentlemen, can we see the Giants for just a minute? The Giants donated $500,000 towards the Sandy Relief Fund. Giants quarterback Eli Manning spent his day working with the Red Cross last week in Staten Island while a handful of other players. Justin Tuck, Hickson, Senator David Bass prepared food at the New Jersey Food Bank, and the organization, John Myra and Steve Tesh, announced that they would be donating $500,000 to slip between the Hurricane Sandy New Jersey Relief Fund and the Mayor's Fund to advance the New York City. The Giants want to do everything we can do to assist our neighbors, fans, and friends, the team said in a statement. Toward that end, after careful consideration, we have decided to make donations to these two very worthwhile funds. And it just shows that the Giants, beyond being Super Bowl champions, are also special champions off the gridiron as we take our hat off to them. And it seems like last Sunday that even though the score was short 24-20 Steelers, there was two championship organizations and championship players on that field. As you know, the Steelers had said during the week that they would fly in on the day of the game so they wouldn't have any problems uprooting people in hotels who needed the rooms. And you look at what the Giants have done. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of other organizations have done the same thing too, but the Giants have given $500,000 as well as also the Eli Manning and others. They're being there. What's that, Wings?
The Jets also donated $500,000 towards the Hurricane Sandy fund.
Okay.
You like that. You know, here the Jets, under the radar, didn't say anything about it. But, of course, Rex Ryan's right-hand man here in Cincinnati, see, knew. You take your hat off for them, and it's just it says a lot. The great line from Dr. King, service to others, when you pay for your room here on earth. And Dr. King, life's from the system, or the urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And you feel good that the home team has done. I'm pretty sure the Yankees have done something, too. I'm pretty sure the Knicks have done something, too. These are just two of the teams that we know about. But you feel good to hear that the guys, the heroes, the idols, the athletes have not forgot or where they come from and turn around and help these people. Because, I mean, there are people still here in the Tri-State area that still haven't had lights on them. My brother James, for 4 or 5 days, didn't have lights.
Neither did I.
Hoopsa didn't have lights. Really, that part of Brooklyn, huh? I didn't know that, Hoopsa.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The whole block.
I knew you had the cable service, Dusty's cable service. I called Dusty's house, and I couldn't get his phone. I said, oh, man, he didn't pay the bill. The lights was out. You're not to blame him. Dusty didn't pay the bill. It's just one of those things. Harold, did you didn't have any problems out there in your part of Queens, did you? How we lost Harold?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, how must have slid out. We also, once again, get well wishes to Lady A, as she's coming back.
Lady.
Yeah.
Get well. We miss you. Can't wait to have you back.
Yeah.
Indeed,
definitely. Boxing's finest.
Real quick, Doc. Drop a statement regarding the Jets. That's just gonna light the show on fire. We, you know, the Jets complain about, and the fans, and even us here. We talk about Wayne Hunter. They replaced him. We talked about Revis being out. Cromartie stepped up to the plate. Now, one thing that we haven't really talked about was Santonio Holmes.
Oh,
he's not there. We called him a firecracker. He's, you know, they blamed a lot of the problems in the locker room on him, the turmoil. He's not there now. Why can't they play better? Why can't they play better? It just goes to show you the problems that the New York Jet organization has. In regards to his personnel, application, drafting or trading up for the right people, they have a lot of problems that they have to iron out. Otherwise, they're just going to be a subway train in the dead middle of the winter at night.
Yeah.
Just parked and not going
anywhere. Tannenbaum has been an unmitigated disaster, see, as far as the draft. As far as personnel, Tannenbaum has been an unmitigated disaster. His draft choices rarely work out. His player personnel decisions are somewhere on cloud nine. I mean, how can you take? I will say, when I haven't been that high on Sanchez, but in fairness to him, as you said the other show, they've taken the few weapons that he had, they've taken it away.
Yeah.
You know, they tried to come in on the cheap, and they surrounded a guy over nobody ever knows. You see, the thing about Sanchez, the panel doc, in my humble opinion, the thing about Sanchez is you actually can do things with him if you ask him to do nothing more than just manage the game. You don't have to win the game for us. You don't have to take the team on your back. We're going to surround you with enough personnel where all we're going to ask you to do is manage the game. Don't make the big mistake. Don't turn the ball over. Don't fumble the ball. Don't throw the big interception. Just manage the game. He doesn't have the personnel to do it.
No.
He's not going to win the game for you. He's not the type of quarterback that makes everybody around him better. So all you can ask him to do at the most is manage the game if you have the players around him. Well, that's all he has to do, and they don't have that around him.
Mm-hmm. The point that you keep bringing is that those little things that he needed are no longer there. A update, we told you the other day that Con Basilio, former welterweight champion, one of the few guys that beat Ray Robinson, passed away at 85. Lee McPhail, who used to be the GM of the Yankees, he passed away today. He was 95 years old. So McPhail, former GM of the Yankees and one of the guys who was in baseball for a long, long time, at 95 years old, passed away today. 3 days ago, Harold Weston Jr. had informed me of the passing of Carmen Basilio. Once again, the Knicks, for the first time in close to 2 decades, are 4-0. Carmelo Anthony, 31 points. Knicks are the only undefeated team in professional basketball in the NBA. And the Nets, as long as they've been at 500, they're 2-2 as they stopped a 10-game losing streak against the Orlando Magic this weekend.
Hey,
Doc,
speaking of the Nets, Doc, pardon me for cutting you up, but speaking of the Nets, let me just say this before I forget, and I'm only putting this in because I'll forget it otherwise. Can somebody get Brook Lopez to play me? Can somebody get an angry Brook Lopez around here? I mean, the guy's 7 feet, what, 250 or 60. You know, if he had just a little bit of a mean streak, this
no
guy
presence.
Would be fabulous.
No presence. For a guy 7 feet tall, Rooney, he has no presence on the floor. Tremendous.
He has none, Doc. He's 7, he plays like he's 6'6", Doc.
I mean, no presence.
Doc, what's your boy? Shaq likes him. Shaq picked him as second best center in the NBA, Doc.
Hmm?
Shaq picked him as second better than Howard.
And he's playing worse than Spud Webb. And Spud Webb was what, about
5'8"? 5'7".
Hey, okay, hold. Let's make it 5'8 and a half, okay? Come on.
5'8 and a half and a quarter.
But it's just, it's guys like him that prove that being tall don't mean you're going to be a good basketball player.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. You know, you look at some of it shows the greatness of Chamberlain and Russell and Patrick Ewing and Jabbar, you know, because you're 7 feet tall, those mean you're going to be an elite basketball player, Rob Sanchez. I was surprised at the late induction of Jamal Wilkes into the NBA Basketball Hall of Fame. It's just crazy. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust and God Radio Network. Mic on, lights off. Sports in Depth Extra, as Rooney says. We've got a good 9 minutes here left. We both New York teams will be on the road this weekend. Jets and the Giants. Giants will be at Cincinnati. They're favored to win that game. And the Jets, the way things now, are just simply showing up. Their game at Seattle, but looking at some of the records, some of the surprises at this time of the year. I mean, the Falcons 8-0. Nobody thought that. Texas is 7-1.
Tebow.
I hear you.
Tebow.
Chicago 7-1. The Niners are 6-2. You know, this is the team. I meant to say this. You know, the 49ers are 6-2. Frank Gore is en route to a 1,300 season, but you know, the 49ers cannot go to the Super Bowl or to the championship and even the division with the guys that they have at quarterback. I don't understand. I just don't see them. I mean, they played the Giants. They had 14 first downs and 3 points. 14 first downs and 3 points. 14 first downs and 3 points. And then last year in the championship game against the Giants, which they were favored for, it doesn't mean anything, but they didn't get a third down all game. Didn't get a third down. Well, how can you be an elite football team? Didn't get a third down all game. Played the Giants a couple of weeks ago, had 14 first downs and 3 points. I don't see the 49ers, because running roughside over the Jets does not make you a elite football team. I don't see the 49ers being all the super-duper of a football team. I like the way the Packers are starting to come along. I think
I like the Bears,
Doc.
Doc. They're dangerous. They're defense.
You know what? They say Jay Cutler, his offense is rolling. The Bears could be the team that steamrolls into the Super Bowl. They
played the Texans on Sunday, so that should be interesting, very interesting.
Well, for you people who like numbers, okay, and you heard it here first, but I'm going to blame it on Dusty, they're both 7-1. So you can run it with them there, 071 or 710. If you hit a little something, you can donate to the Doc Stanley Way right here on the Trust in God Radio Network.
Play pocket pool.
The Bears both the Bears and Texas coming to Sunday's game, they're both 7-1, that means they're only one game away from the 8-0 Falcons. The Niners, they're 6-2.
I'm looking at the Bears to take the Texans, but because the Bears are awesome.
Lovie Smith. Nobody don't talk about him, though, Doc.
The Bears are the winningest organization in professional football.
And also, he's my nominated for Coach of the Year. He's up there. Yeah. I got him up there.
He
got
to be at 7-1. I mean, you're going to have to the Falcons.
Everybody talk about this coach from the Falcons. But like I said, they always do good. Until the playoffs, they self-destruct. They always do that.
The coach used to be like that. They would do well. They would die out like a candle.
Well, I'm going to tell you who you have to watch. those guys who left town last week, the Steelers are 5-3. You know, you gotta. I mean, the Steelers weren't supposed to be 5-3. The Steelers were supposed to be maybe 4-4. Now, or even on the other side, they were supposed to lose to the Eagles. They were supposed to lose to the Giants, especially coming into MetLife Stadium. Giants are on a 4-game win streak. The Sandy situation. All that sort of had been in the Giants' favor, but somebody didn't tell the Steelers that. You know, because the Steelers are 5-3. That's halfway in the season mark. They're 2 games over 500, and as
on
the weather
Sunday,
gets colder,
Monday night they played the Kansas City Chiefs, so that's going to be payback for Haley. So you know he will get revenge on them.
So you're talking 6-3, and well, you know, I remember that game Sunday, and there was a lot of Steelers fans, but it just played right into the type of Steelers football, cold weather, and you say about Roethlisberger a lot that he may not be a lot of things, and he may be a lot of things. And one thing he definitely is, he is a prime-time quarterback. Okay?
Would you say about Steelers, they're a tough team?
Quarterback, too, man. It takes 2 or 3 guys to bring him down.
Oh, for all intents and purposes, he's a middle linebacker that's a little bigger. Yeah, I mean, he's a tough guy, he seems to have a great rapport, not with his coach, but with people of color. And with that, real quick, let me take a quick break here and make a quick little plug here. Once again, Sports in Depth on the Trusted Guard Radio Network, sponsored tonight by Andre's Barbershop, Panama, 917-751-3393, 21875th Street, up in the boogie down Brianzant. Hey, you want your hair cut? You want a shave? You want it done the way you want it done, the best way it can be done? Via Zanama, Panama, 917-751-3393, 21 East 175th Street in the Boogie Down Bronx, Andre's Barbershop. And at the same time, Manny Mobile Clothes for all occasions. Ask for Jay, 646-322-1657. Manny Mobile Clothing for all occasions. Hey, and Panama is right up there at the Laundry Master. That's their open every day. 7 to 10 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays, you get half off on the machines from 7 to 2 p.m. Once again, Laundry Master, Monday through Sunday, 7 to 10 p.m. Tuesdays, Thursdays, from 7 to 2, half off on the machines. Manny, mobile clothes for all occasions, 646-322-1657. Ask for Jay, and the only way to go if you want your head done right, Andre's Barbershop, Panama, 917-751-3393, 21 East 175th Street in the Bronx. This portion of Sports in Depth, Mic on, Lights Off, have been brought to you by those three organizations. Andre's Barbershop, Miami Mobile Clothes, and the Laundry Master. One more time, Laundry Master, Monday through Sunday, 7 to 10 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7 to 2 is half off on the machines. Manny Mobile Clothing for all occasions. 646-322-1657. As for Jay and Andre's Barbershop, located 21 East 175th Street in the Boogie Down Bronx, Panama. 917-751-3393. Hey, tell them the doctor and the posse that we sent you when you ride up. And you ride up. Okay. There's the games. Next week, this time, as you know, we'll be coming Sports Wrap during the course of the week. And we're also going to be live with C-Wings hits the road when that St. Louis game. So we'll be bringing you that on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And
C-Wings, do me a favor. Don't get thrown out, all right?
No penalties,
okay?
It's pretty cold.
Don't get no red
in,
flags over there. Don't get no yellow flags over there, all right?
And
we'll see you on TV.
We're just about, okay, you know, let's get the feeling here. I think everybody's concluded that the Giants should win, and everybody's saying that they hope that the Jets will win. Is that how we kind of conclude this, Rooney?
We're going on hope for Jets. And
the prayer
hope,
get an answer
hope
for
the
Jets.
And don't be surprised if the Giants blow it again, because these guys get stupid and complacent.
Wow. That's
the Bengals are a good team, man. They can't sleep on the Bengals.
Yeah,
they're
a good team. Let me tell you, the Giants are supposed to be a good road team. They proved it the first half with Dallas, and then they gave it away. If it hadn't been for that fluke catch by Zeb Bryant.
Right.
Here over here with Pittsburgh, I mean, 14 unanswered points in the fourth quarter. How? I mean, what kind of Giants are you, man? I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, so this is where I'm saying the complacency, the spoiled rats of Super Bowl. I mean, Bengals, you see, the thing is, when you fight the tough guy, you bring it up another notch because it's a feather in your cap to beat the champ. I mean, you're always a target.
It's
a
target on your head.
Beat the champ. It says, I beat the champ.
If you don't win but one game, that's the game.
You win the championship or not, you got to beat the champ. And that's what happens. These teams are geared up to slap the crap out of the Giants because
the point you're making is that when the Giants come to town, that is their Super Bowl.
Exactly. That's true. And they're going to beat them.
Yeah.
Well. And they got to beat the champ. And, that's, you know, and the Giants are getting smoked by replacement players. I mean, Pittsburgh has three or four replacement players.
You said the Giants got smoked by what? Replacement players?
Yeah. Mendenhall was gone. Palomalo was gone. Two other guys were gone. And those guys were replacement players.
Hey, don't forget the defense, Pittsburgh's defense now. We ain't got no replacements there. The defense is tough now.
Yeah,
like C-Wings told me, this Pittsburgh a tough team. Right, C-Wings? Didn't you tell me that last week? They're a tough team. That was C-Wings said.
Yeah,
I was shocked even Tope said that about my Steelers.
Yeah.
You know, he hit my Steelers anyway.
Because
he'd be beating up on the poor Jets all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
Because look at this guy, Mendenhall. Mendenhall is out sick. And this rookie, this backup, I forget his name, man, he ran.
Dreyer. Oh, he was killing him.
No, not Dreyer. I forgot the other guy. He ran through the Giant defense like Swiss cheese, man.
you talking about Redmond?
Redmond.
Yeah, Redmond. Like
147 yards, 13
kicks. There was no defense there.
At least they won in the spot. Rooney, tell everybody good night real quick here for us before we cut out.
Doctors, this has been a special edition of Sports In Depth Extra. Mics on, lights off. The Sports In Depth Nation's been here. Our Sports In Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network, and the straw that stirs the drink's been here. That's been Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doc.
Hey, gang, at least with three thoughts. Live your life today as if it's time for God tomorrow. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for service to others? Does meant you pay for your room here? I simply say trust in God. Love that great verse from Psalms 8, chapter 4. What is man that God is so mindful of him, that the Son of Man came to visit him? Die Hard is going to close us. Don't worry, I move just a minute back.
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports In Depth.
And that's Larry. He approved this message.
hey, you know what I like, gang? I like Dusty boy. Dusty said that the Steelers won with
replacement players. Wow, he must be mad as hell. He must be a Jet fan.
Dusty said, with the Jets we hope. And I guess what he wanted to add, if the Giants throw it next week, they'll break out the rope, huh, Dusty?
I'm telling you.
Wow.
Hey, Rooney, who's the Dusty? Dusty said.
You miss your mule, Dusty? That's what it is. You miss your mule. That'd be in a bad mood, man. You're going off tonight, boy. You're tearing
that's
it up,
right,
boy.
Yeah.
Take over the show next week.
Who just said they won the game with replacement players?
Dusty must be in a bad mood, man. He must want some money, right?
Because I hate sloppy plays. That's what it is.
You're a fool. You bet on Sonny.
Hey, listen, and we'll tell you something else here. This is the last warning. Sea Wings handicapped the Jets 23-21. Don't take the money out the bank. Don't bet it. You know what I mean?
You know what? I say they might. I think they still got a chance, though, man.
Oh no, they got to see. I mean, they do to play better football.
There'd be pressure on them, but I think they got to show where they're coming from now. Cause that's a hard place to play at, man.
Yeah,
that's like going to Pittsburgh, man. You know that?
hey, Jesse, did you hear that? Rooney, did you catch that? That's like going to Pittsburgh.
That's
like
right.
Going back to Pittsburgh all over again.
They have a built-in excuse, Doc. They thought it was an exhibition.
We're going now. Good night, everybody. We're going now. We're going.
Good night.
Wow.
Good. Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Wow. Wow.
What's the Bell? Brought to you on the Preston Card Radio Network panel members Mel Costell Smith Jr., Lewis Hoopster Hart, Nathaniel Baby Lord, Harold Weston Jr., Cincinnati Sea Wings, Lady A, Nate B. Baseball, Giddy of Gilberto Ortiz. Join us here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. We'll be back over the weekend. Doc Stanley and crew on the Preston Card Radio Network Blog Talk Radio. From the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God.